Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Daniel chapter 11, verses 29 through 45, titled Indignation of the Holy Covenant. This is part 2 of 2.
Bad. Revelation 13, 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to what? That's why the church isn't there. Jesus said the church will not be overcome. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But the Antichrist will overcome the saints during the tribulation. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. You realize that's never happened. We've had global empires, but they haven't controlled the entire system. They haven't controlled everything the way the Antichrist will. Nebuchadnezzar, the Caesars, even the Popes, they've been like the eminent premier ruler on the earth, but they have never controlled everything. It was impossible, really, up until recently. So verses 34 and 35 says, "Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries." And you'll find that's politics. That's just politics. "And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed." And we're going to read some more about that in Daniel chapter 12. But how anyone cannot see the dual fulfillment indicated here is beyond me. Verse 36 says, "And the king shall do according to his will." Does this sound familiar? "And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god." I'm not talking about Obama, by the way. He came close. But this guy's going to be worse. "And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done." That Antiochus did all this, and the Antichrist will do this. What you just read there is kind of a match to 2 Thessalonians 2. Turn there real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. I'll start reading verse 1 and 2 as you turn there. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means." Now the day of Christ, I get into some of the brethren don't like my view on that, and I don't care. I believe the day of the Christ is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the wrath of God poured out during the tribulation period is when it begins. And it continues actually through the millennium. The 1,000-year reign is the day of the Lord. And anyway, it doesn't start until, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now the falling away is actually commemorated consummated, whatever the right word is, the moment after the rapture. People ask me, do you think that could be talking about the rapture? Well, yes and no. It's like two events that happen at the same time. They're not the same event, but they do happen at the same time. When that rapture happens, the dead in Christ rise first. Then those who are alive remain are caught up in the air with them. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And at that moment, there's not a single believer on the planet. Amen. Complete apostasy. Not a single believer. Everybody left behind who claimed to be a Christian was a fake. Amen. Every preacher left behind after the rapture is a fake. Yep. Now, there'll be people saved sometime after that. There'll be believers, but they'll have to reject the mark, and a lot of them will have to die. The days of say this little prayer are over, amen? But anyway, Verse 4 is what matches our text in Daniel 11. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I love this verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Paul had preached this. Now he's writing it. And they had forgotten it. But it's true. And it matches verse 36. So Antiochus did the same thing, and Antichrist would come along and do it as well. Antiochus was an apostate Roman, meaning he was he had left the religion of the Romans. And Antichrist will be an apostate Jew. Look at verse 37. Read that with me. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. So Antiochus left his religion, the faith of his fathers. Antichrist comes, he will be a Jew who will not regard the God of his fathers. So think about the qualities of the Antichrist. He's going to be a Jew. He's going to be a Sodomite. And he is going to be full of his own self-esteem. Isn't that interesting?
Amen.
The idea, first of all, that the Jews would accept a Gentile as Messiah is absurd.
Amen.
This thing about the Muhammad, what do they call it, the Islamic Caliphate, the Mahdi, the Islamic Mahdi, who's to come, and there's books and videos, and you can waste a lot of money on that if you want, but it's wrong.
Amen.
We talked about it 2 or 3 years ago. The Jews are not going to accept a Muslim as their Messiah.
Amen.
And people say, well, you think it's the Pope?
Amen.
And I think the Pope will be a Jew.
Amen.
It won't be the first Pope with Jewish DNA. Be like Disraeli, who was the Prime Minister of England. When you think of England, you don't think of Jews, but Disraeli was Prime Minister, and he was a Jew. So verse 38 continues, says, but in his estate shall he honor, the God of forces. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. May the force be with you. Verse 39. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with the strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. Now, that may sound like a contradiction. We just said he's going to exalt himself above all that is called God, and then he's going to have this God. But I believe that's a reference to the image. That it will be the Antichrist, and then there'll be this image that he will then cause people to worship. And so that's how I think that's going to play out. Now look at that, verse 39. And shall divide the land. God don't like that. Look over at Joel. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Just a few pages in most of your Bibles. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Chapter 3. This is the same time. It's talking about the same time. Matches. You can write this in your margin there next to verse 39. Beginning of verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 2. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's Megiddo. That's Armageddon. And will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. That was 70 AD to 1948. And parted my land. When you hear anybody, including Donald Trump, talk about land for peace, look up and remind yourself what God says there in Joel 3, 1 and 2. And land for peace itself, it's just an Antichrist thing. It's just interesting how amazingly current this all is. First of all, we have the self-esteem cult, including most Christian churches, where you're told to love yourself and to esteem yourself. And you can't love anyone else unless you love yourself and all that nonsense. There isn't any scripture to back that up. But there are plenty of books in the Christian bookstore. Go down to Lifeway, you'll find it. Gay pride. Isn't it interesting that while gay pride, this whole pride parade and pride month and pride, just happens to be coming to a peak at the time that the Antichrist is about to show up. Who is a sodomite? The Force. It's not just Star Wars, although I love to pick on Star Wars. But that idea of the Force, it's pervasive. And there are a lot of people who tell you, I don't really believe in God, but I do believe in a Force. You hear it all the time. George Lucas put it in his movies because George Lucas believes it. Not vice versa. There's a reason why he put it in Star Wars as the god of that movie series. And it's the Force of the New Age movement. Basically the same thing. And all that. Just in time for the Antichrist to show up. And then the land for peace thing. All that is, it's not part of this. I have just described for you American culture. Everything that the Antichrist needs when he shows up is inbred now in our culture. I mean, if you and I go out and we go, we could be at a Buckeye game sitting in the stands, or we could go out to a restaurant and where the tables are close enough people can talk to each other. Most of us can even go to family gatherings. And if I speak against any of that, I'm the crazy one. When I say, well, the Bible says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, not to love yourself. The Bible says that you're supposed to be here to serve others. If you want real joy, die to yourself. People look at you like, you're crazy. And loving it. Amen. Same-sex sexuality is a sin. Gay marriages are fake. They're not even real. What? Such hate. I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. They love people. They love. You're supposed to love. That's what you get. So let's go ahead and finish the chapter with some reading, understanding that we are there. We're ready. We'll make just a little bit of comment as we go through these next verses. Beginning of verse 40. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. There was a big conflict. Antiochus got his tail kicked. But the Antichrist isn't going to just have it, you know, easy. He will control the government. It's just like in Iraq, as an example. I mean, America went in and they had, you see the videos, this Iraqi military, man, they were like throwing their guns in the air and waving, take us, we surrender, you know. And we went in, man, within a few months, we're bringing home the boys in body bags. By the thousands, Afghanistan, same thing. See, that's the kind of thing you're going to see with the Antichrist. He will control it. But man, it's going to be a bloody mess. And past fulfillment with future implications of these verses. Verse 41. Look what he says here. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom, Petra, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon, Jordan. Petra is Edom. Moab and Ammon is where modern Transjordan or Jordan, the country east of Israel. Yeah, that's right, the incestual races. Verse 42, he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. They won't be defeated, but they won't want to escape his wrath. And they'll be, like I said, it's a bloody mess, and that's what happened under Antiochus. Verse 43, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. That's amazing. If you want to doubt the Bible, doubt that right there. But that happened to Antiochus, and believe it or not, after Benghazi and the killing of Gaddafi and the mess and the civil war in Libya and all the famine and death that's been for 20, 30 years in Ethiopia, they're going to have armies and they're actually going to be involved in this battle. Verse 44, but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. Now, don't take that lightly, that last phrase there. This matches history with Antiochus, and it matches what the book of Revelation prophesies about a future Holocaust under, you know, Hitler's offspring and the Antichrist. Verse 15, we could run numerous references, but it says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, this is the false prophet, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. You don't take the mark, you won't worship the image, it's just going to be killing people. And there are going to be a lot of them do it, even people who aren't believers. You say, why would that be? I just tell you, look at the people who are on the right side, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to issues like abortion, against gay marriage, pro-Second Amendment, pro-Constitution, and as lost as Lucifer. And you try to talk to them about the gospel, they'll turn you off and walk away from you just like any liberal. Isn't that something? It's going to happen during the tribulation as well. Let's read verse 45. Read that with me. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. So he's going to have him a nice mansion up in the glorious holy mountain, I believe is a reference to Zion there in Jerusalem. And it was true of Antiochus, and it will be true of Antichrist. As we have said that over and over and over and over, I know, but it had to be said because it's true. Revelation 19:20 says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped the image, or his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. He loses. All right, any questions about that? We covered a lot of territory, but Johnny?
Okay, this is something I've learned about languages and stuff recently. You were talking at the very beginning about, you know, some of these names you don't exactly know how to pronounce them.
Yeah.
Is it because of the sermon that I think it was the Jews that they use a type of language where most of the time they don't have vowels?
That had something to do with it. But even English, You go to different parts of the United States of America, and you know what? You know how you rinse things? Where I'm from, a bunch of people, when you rinse something, you wrench it. You wrench it. Yeah. And, yeah, where are you from? And, yeah, you wash things. You wash, and you know, happy birthday. And they say it just like that. Happy birthday. And there's some people up here say it too. I don't know how that happened, but I've met people who are born and raised in Columbus, and they say, yeah, it's somebody's birthday. And then there's, Oh, up the creek? Yeah, where I'm from, it's a creek. Yeah. So that's why it's so ridiculous when you have these, I call them Greek snobs or Hebrew snobs. Like, you're actually not pronouncing that correctly. It's like, you're a bozo. I mean, stop it. Just, what it is, they want to act like they're superior to you. And that's why it bugs me. It really bothers me. I've always been one of those guys that cannot stand these people, men and women, who just think they're better than other people. And especially when they're not. You know what I mean? When somebody's acting like they have knowledge and they don't even have that knowledge. It's wrong. That's like all these charismatics. I dealing with some goofball today on Facebook claiming, you worship some false deity named Jesus. Because his real name is Yahushua. And if you don't call him Yahushua, you're not even a real Christian. Well, the apostles wrote the New Testament in Koine Greek and called him Yesu. So evidently the apostles weren't saved. And for 2,000 years of Christian history, they've been calling him Jesus in whatever language. And you know, the Mexicans call him Yesu, or Jesus. And you know, German, what was it, Luther's Bible? I think it's the same. I think it's Jesu. And it's the same as Jesus. It's whatever language it's translated. And the guy, so what's his basis for that, for believing that? Because God came to him and told him that. And all these people, these charismatics are the worst about it on TV. They don't have any basis for the stuff they claim. So they always blasphemously claim it's God. God told me that you should send me your credit card information and leave the amount blank so that I can fill it in with whatever the Lord lays on my heart. And people believe that. And that just drives me crazy. So anyway, that's the thing with the language, Johnny. It's even, you can see it right here in the United States of America. It doesn't matter. You go to different parts of the country and they don't pronounce names the same. Johnny is pretty solid, but some names, you know, Virginia, Louisville, Arlington, Portsmouth. You ever heard of Portsmouth? Portsmouth? No. If you're from where I'm from, it's Portsmouth. Not kidding you. Portsmouth. They even sell T-shirts with it on there because it's so funny. They'll have T-shirts say Portsmouth, Arlington, and it's Wheelersburg High School, where I went to school. Wolfsburg. Where'd you go to school? Wolfsburg, you know, Wolfsburg. And then, if you're from there, it's Scioto-ville, but you always know when someone's not because they'll call it Scioto-ville. Yeah, Jill? Speaking of, Merlin, yeah. Or you could be Gil. See what I'm saying? So, any other questions? A couple more minutes. They're coming to take you away. All right, go ahead and stand. Let's close with a song. Love this song. I try to sing it every once in a while so I can get it stuck in your head. I've had people tell me, you know that song you want to get stuck in my head? Well, it's stuck. Yeah. And when the battle's over, we should wear a crown. Yes, we should wear a crown. Yes, we should wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we should wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle
crown in the New Jerusalem. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. All God's people say amen.
Amen. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We're just so thankful for those who are able to join with us here locally and online. And so wonderful to see the word going out. So many millions of downloads over the years. And so many people who have taken the time to contact us and let us know that they are listening and learning your word. It's just a wonderful thing. It's a privilege. And we are thankful for this book that we can then take with us every day of the week, open it, read it, and have you speak to us. We just pray the Holy Spirit would guide each one. Each of us here tonight will go out of here with our hearts full. Lord, thank you for saving us. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.